Chapter 8. There's definitely a good handful of other possibilities, I murmured to Amber as I scanned the dog-eared piece of yellowed parchment. The map we'd found buried under the burned human bones and dusty ash in the wyvern nest quite clearly showed Amber's riverside location, from when she was trapped in her bow form, as well as several other significant sketches that all seemed to reside beneath my cabin and in the dungeon itself. There was what looked like a helmet in the far corner, though nothing else with it, and there was also a drawing of a longsword by what looked like an underground swamp of some kind, and several other places of note were dotted around the dungeon that sprawled beneath my cabin, and in the hills upon which it rested. I figured the dungeon that technically housed my portal was worth exploring, but now even more so since we had a map confirming the potential location of others like Amber. Maybe I could look into clearing the caved-in tunnel beneath my cabin somehow. There were dozens of sprawling tunnels that went off the edges of this map. Perhaps one led to the room under my home base.
I'd love to see if we could find any others,
Amber said wistfully, as if she'd read my thoughts.
If there are weapons with trapped souls or consciousness or whatever, I'd love to try and set them free. Maybe then we can try and work out who did this to us and why.
Definitely, I agreed and shot her a warm smile. I told you I'd help you in any way I could, so consider that our mission.
Okay.
Amber grinned widely.
Thank you, James.
Let's get some sleep, I replied and matched her smile. It's late, and I've actually got to go to some classes tomorrow. We both climbed into bed, but it was a long while before we actually fell asleep. Not because we were both entirely distracted by how our bodies felt pressed up against one another, although admittedly that was a very strong factor. But we spent way too much time spitballing theories and making potential plans to explore Amber's world. And it was definitely a stupid time of the morning before we both eventually passed out with our arms and legs tangled up with each other. We were rudely awakened the next morning by my cell phone vibrating against my computer desk, where I'd left it charging the night before, and Amber groaned into my chest as I started to move.
Don't,
she mumbled.
Just stay.
If I don't, then that thing will continue to wake up the entire dorm, I said with a soft chuckle, and I gently unwrapped her arm from around my stomach and slid out from beneath the comforter. Amber sighed deeply and stretched out on my bed the moment I'd left it, with her freckled skin still bare and her red hair a fiery chaos on the pillows. I could have pretended to roll my eyes at her starfishing, but the curve of her ass and the soft dip at her shoulder blades were entirely too distracting. I padded across the room to where my cell phone was still blaring, "Carry on, wayward son," and finally hit the snooze button, and sweet silence filled my dorm room once again. "You gonna come hang out with me today?" I murmured as I sat back down on the edge of my bed and wormed an arm beneath Amber's snoozing body. She groaned again, playfully this time, and rolled over enough that her perky breasts spilled out beneath her, and she could flick a strand of red hair away from her now sparklingly blue eyes.
"I'll go wherever you are,"
Amber muttered sleepily, and she ran a hand gently over my thigh and up toward my boxers.
"Forever."
I leaned down to kiss her, and her sleepy sighs and the way she pressed her body up against mine almost persuaded me to play hooky and stay wrapped up in bed with her all day. But if I started skipping classes, I'd be in danger of flunking, and I couldn't get kicked out of this dorm, not before I figured out how to get this wardrobe out of my dorm room and into a place of my own, and helped Amber figure out what happened to her. So eventually, I managed to pull myself away from the intoxicating redhead long enough for us both to get dressed, and head toward my first class. The only clothing Amber had traveled into my world with was the raw leather dress, and as hot and as tight and as attractive as it was, other people would have started to ask questions as to why my girlfriend kept wearing the same thing. So I'd made up some bullshit excuse to Honey about how Amber's luggage had gotten lost, and my neighbor gracefully loaned my portal-hopping girlfriend a pair of jeans and a flannel button-down. And I'd happily given up a handful of band shirts that couldn't quite keep my biceps in check any longer.
"Do I look okay?"
Amber asked, as if she could sense my daydreaming about her, and I looked up. She tied her messy red hair up into an even messier bun, with long tendrils of hair already making a desperate escape attempt. So her gorgeous face was perfectly framed with auburn waves. She'd pulled on her borrowed gray jeans and stolen an Iron Maiden shirt that I'd cut the sleeves off, and considering how I couldn't exactly ask Honey for underwear, Amber was totally commando. Which was distracting enough, knowing she was commando in her jeans, but it also meant the Iron Maiden shirt showed the perfect swell of her breasts whenever she moved her arms, and I hurriedly handed her the flannel button-down Honey had loaned us. In case you get cold. I offered with a tight grin. Amber just shrugged and tied the shirt around her slim waist, which only accentuated the fact that her breasts were bare beneath my band shirt. I swallowed the groan sitting high in my throat and grabbed her hand as we left my dorm room.
"Remind me again, what's the point of this?"
Amber whispered 20 minutes later from where she was sitting in the seat next to me at the back of the lecture hall with her newly blue eyes hooded and sleepy. I tried to keep at least half of my focus on my music professor's elongated speech about how current uses of expanded tonal harmonies are reminiscent of the works of neoclassical greats like blah blah blah, but eventually I glanced across at the gorgeous redhead. The moment I laid eyes on her, my professor's voice faded into the background, and I found myself daydreaming about pulling her into the bathrooms and pushing my hands up beneath her borrowed Iron Maiden shirt. Then I blinked a couple of times before remembering she'd asked a question. "We study here to get degrees so we can get jobs," I explained in a hushed tone.
"So you learn something without actually doing the thing?"
Amber clarified with a raised eyebrow.
"That just seems like a waste of time."
"I do sort of agree," I smiled. "I don't really need to know a good portion of this stuff in order to be good at what I do."
"Why don't you just do what you want to do and learn to be better and hone your skills while performing the ones you already can do?"
Amber pointed out matter-of-factly. For the 100th time, I smirked as I reached across to hold her hand. "You're absolutely and completely right."
"Yeah, I know."
Amber giggled and she held my hand between both of hers in her lap. "Am I interrupting, Mr. Miller?" My professor's voice suddenly called out, and I whipped my head around at the sound of my name. "No, sir," I quickly said and blinked innocently. "Not at all." I tried my best to ignore Amber's smirk in the corner of my eye, and I had to bite down on my own lip to keep a straight face as my professor begrudgingly carried on his lecture. We spent the rest of the day hanging around the quad, and we found a little wooden bench tucked beneath the shade of a huge silver maple tree on the west side of the plaza that gave us a perfect view of the campus without having to worry about being interrupted. Until Honey texted me in our group chat with Aaron, and I begrudgingly told them about mine and Amber's spot.
"Not interrupting anything, are we?"
Honey asked knowingly as she flung her backpack onto the ground and then quickly followed suit.
"Not that they'd pay us any mind."
Aaron smirked as he joined Honey on the grass beside the tree trunk.
"We hear everything."
My long-haired friend waggled his eyebrows as he pulled a cigarette out of his packet with his teeth, and I just rolled my eyes as Amber's freckled skin flushed a light shade of pink.
"Is that bad?"
she asked.
"It's sexy,"
Honey immediately said, though she laughed at the sight of Amber's mild embarrassment.
"But it's college. It's par for the course."
"True." I nodded encouragingly as I slung an arm around the redhead's shoulders and grinned down at my two friends. "At least I'm giving you the true college experience."
"The American dream."
Aaron laughed loudly as he exhaled a pale blue cloud of cigarette smoke.
"Right."
"Oh my God."
Honey suddenly gasped as she leaned forward.
"Amber, did you get contacts?" "Contacts,"
the redhead repeated with a confused expression. "Yes." I cut in before I shot Amber a subtle look. She said she wanted to try something different, so she got blue contacts for her eyes.
"Oh, they look amazing,"
Honey said, and then started talking about how the one time she tried colored contacts, they fell out during sex. We spent the rest of the afternoon discussing Honey's apparently very lavish sexual history while uncontrollably belly laughing. And it was an almost welcome break from the intensity of being a monster slayer in a video game world. Though, I was still itching to jump back through the portal in my closet and explore even more and earn more gold. I even offered to take Amber shopping to spend some of my new wealth, but she said she was tired and just wanted to hang out with my friends, so I took the hint and relaxed. For now. But the thought of the other world still lingered in the back of my mind. I'd also noticed a change in my physiology in the real world as I gained experience in Amber's world, and I was excited to see exactly what could cross over through the portal. My muscles felt stronger, my t-shirts were tighter, and I even felt like I stood a little taller. Whatever I gained in the video game world, I seemed to gain in the real world by some degree too, Amber included. I looked across at the beautiful redhead as she and Honey laughed about something Aaron had just asked about the female anatomy, and I found myself just smiling serenely at the three of them. This portal to the other world in my closet was pretty amazing, and I couldn't help but daydream about how much my life was going to change once I really started selling all the gold nuggets. There was still a long list of tasks I needed to do in the next few weeks so I could seriously start earning gold nuggets in this fantasy world. Like, buy a gun. Well, register to buy a gun and then wait the month or however long it took to get one in New York. Buy some survival equipment, and then seriously map out the strange fantasy world. Then I needed to get a place of my own and figure out how to steal the wardrobe out of the dorm room so I could use it at home. Then I'd accumulate more wealth until I never needed to worry about school or living expenses. The thought was amazing, and I couldn't wait for my mom to see how successful I was going to become. I'd known that staying in Brooklyn would serve me well. It wasn't just so my mom could still text me in the same time zone. I immediately pulled my cell phone out at the thought because I hadn't replied to a message of hers from the other day, so I quickly typed a message out to her explaining that I was just busy, and I'd come and visit her soon.
We're gonna go grab a pretzel,
Honey suddenly said as she dragged Amber to her feet, and I reluctantly let my other arm fall away from the beautiful redhead's shoulders.
You guys want anything?
A soda wouldn't go, miss. I grinned up at my friend and my otherworldly girlfriend.
Yeah, I could go for a Dr. Pepper.
Aaron agreed eagerly.
Thanks, girls.
Amber waved over her shoulder as she followed Honey across the campus and toward the wrought iron gate, and I shot her a smile as I watched her go.
Where'd you guys meet?
Aaron asked as he wedged another white-tipped cigarette between his teeth.
You two seem absolutely in love with each other.
Shit, I guess we probably are. I laughed. We met, just before college started. She lived in my building. I let the white lie roll off my tongue and studied Aaron out of the corner of my eye for any disbelief, but my metalhead friend just nodded thoughtfully.
She's cool, he said after a moment. She fits in with us.
Yeah, I think she's pretty awesome. I smirked. Just need to watch out for Honey trying to steal her.
Nah!
Aaron snickered as he lit his cigarette and blew a long column of smoke out of the corner of his mouth.
Honey's only talked about how hot she thinks you are.
Isn't she gay? I raised an eyebrow.
As far as I know, he shrugged.
What about you, though?
What about me?
Aaron asked as he leaned back against the tree and watched the people that milled around the quad. No girlfriend? I asked. Or boyfriend?
Fuck no, Aaron snorted. Neither. I had a high school sweetheart that went to shit when I decided to move cross-country, and so here I am, single and awesome.
You're not interested in anyone at all? I grinned. There's gotta be someone, surely.
Well, there's this one girl who plays guitar. I've seen her down in the practice rooms. She's a total smoke show, but definitely out of my
Aaron's excited anecdote was suddenly cut off when we both heard Honey's frantic shout from across the quad.
James!
Our friend called out in a panicked tone.
Aaron!
I immediately leapt up from the bench and took off across the campus, with Aaron hot on my tail and almost every student turning their heads to watch us. Amber was slumped against Honey's side and barely able to keep herself on her feet. Her long auburn hair had fallen in front of her face as she stumbled drunkenly along.
Amber!
I yelled when I saw the barely conscious redhead, and I sprinted the rest of the way to her side.
Hey, Amber, hey, I'm here.
James?
She mumbled as her head rolled to the side, and her hair fell out of her face enough that one of her crystal blue eyes could squint up at me.
Hi.
Hi, I replied softly and wrapped my arms around her.
She got real woozy,
Honey said as she gently passed Amber over to me.
I thought she was gonna faint.
Amber, I murmured and brushed her hair away from her face. Hey, how you doing?
I don't feel very well.
She sighed and leaned her body against mine. I'm gonna take her back to my room, I told my friends.
It might just be a migraine or something, but it came on so suddenly,
Honey said as she chewed on her bottom lip.
Keep us posted, okay?
You got it, I agreed, and then I smiled gratefully at Honey. Thank you for helping her.
Of course.
She shrugged, still gnawing fretfully at her bottom lip.
Keep her safe.
I slowly guided Amber back toward Dalton Hall, and her soft, ragged breathing started to become a little more regular by the time I shut my dorm room door behind us. You okay? I asked with a frown as I set her down on my bed. Amber sighed deeply and rubbed at her eyes, and she finally opened both of them wide enough to fix me with a grateful smile.
I'm okay,
she told me.
I think... I don't think I can be too far away from you.
What do you mean? I asked as I pushed a stray wave of red hair behind her ear.
As soon as we got a little farther away from you towards the gates,
Amber sighed and took my hand in hers, from where it still caressed her cheek.
It felt like I was fading away. But you brought me back, James.
You think that's why you got so weak? I asked softly. Because you weren't close to me anymore?
Yes.
Amber nodded.
Which sounds strange, but it was as soon as I couldn't see you. I can't be apart from you.
I've no qualms with that. I smiled as I wrapped her up into a tight hug.
It was like I couldn't hold my human form for much longer.
Amber mumbled into my chest.
It felt like I was going to change back into my bow form.
Here? I confirmed with surprise, but I quickly covered it up with a reassuring smile. Well, even more reason for us to work out how to get you permanently back into your human self, or at least find a way that you can switch between the two.
That would be good.
Amber sighed into my t-shirt, but she still sounded exhausted.
Could we maybe go back through the portal?
Whatever you want to do, I nodded.
I think it would help to transform again.
Amber said quietly.
It sort of gives me a chance to rest.
That makes sense. I agreed. Come on, let's go. Amber and I stepped through the portal in the back of my closet, and I felt the familiar yank somewhere by my stomach as the shimmering gold wall sucked me into the video game world. Hey, I murmured as my feet came into contact with the cold stone, and I touched the bowstring on my chest and the quiver of arrows on my back. You okay?
Much better.
Amber breathed in my mind. Let's go and check out one of the places we found on the map, I offered as I pushed the closet door closed against the golden portal back to my world. It looked like most of the places were inside the dungeon, and if it goes fully into the hills, it's probably huge.
So it's definitely worth exploring?
Amber agreed amicably.
Plus, if what the map says is true, and we can find others like me, then that brings us closer to figuring out how to get me back in my body in my own world.
I wonder why you transform back into your human form in my world, I wondered.
I had a theory about this,
Amber said excitedly, and she almost sounded like her usual self again.
Your world doesn't deal in magic, so whatever curse or hex was placed on me, it doesn't hold any weight in your world as long as I'm within sight of you.
Because the magic doesn't exist. I nodded thoughtfully. That's probably pretty accurate, actually.
See? I'm not just a pretty face.
Amber giggled. You do have a pretty face too, though. I smirked as I looked around the large underground room I stood in. It should have probably instilled a little fear in me, and maybe in the real world it would have. But here the dungeon felt almost as if it were mine to explore at will. The walls had burning torches and iron sconces nailed right into the stone every couple of feet in order to light my way to the exit and staircase, and I studied the closest one as it flickered and burned. How are these lit? I wondered out loud as the flames danced against the oil-soaked cloth.
Magic, most likely,
Amber said offhandedly. You say that so casually. I chuckled and then shook my head. I'm still trying to get used to it.
Well, you're doing pretty good so far,
Amber giggled in my mind.
So, are we going exploring then?
Yes, I told her. But then I sighed heavily as my eyes trailed over to the rubble-filled archway. The only problem is that cave-in. The stone room around me was bare save the torches, and the closet that held the golden portal back to my world was housed in a small stone chamber with only two exits, the staircase to the cabin above and the caved-in tunnel I'd seen when I'd first arrived in this world. I suspected the only way into the dungeon proper was past the huge tunnel cave-in to my left, but I didn't currently have the means to clear it all by myself. Well, I probably could, but it would have taken me hours, if not an entire day, to move each heavy chunk of gray stone by hand, and there was a potential of me fucking it up even more. So I decided our best bet was to explore the woods around the cabin, in case there was some other way down into the dungeon, hidden in the hills. I mentioned this to Amber as I crossed the stone chamber and started to climb up the stone staircase, and she hummed in agreement.
We'll definitely have to clear that cave-in at some point,
she reasoned as I heaved the heavy wooden shutters down against the entrance to the staircase and breathed in a lungful of fresh, woodsy air. I agree, I nodded. But if this dungeon in the hills is as big as we think it is, then there must be another way into it, hidden somewhere in these woods, right?
Right,
Amber said with confidence.
Hopefully close by.
As soon as she said the words, in my mind but still, a faint golden glow appeared between the trees some ways in front of me. No way, I snorted as I peered through the branches. Did you see that?
It's like the beacon we saw that guided us to the Wyvern Nest,
Amber murmured.
Showing you the way?
Yeah, I think so, I agreed in an equally reverent tone. Sure beats GPS, though.
What's GPS?
Amber immediately asked. Nothing. I chuckled softly and shook my head as I pushed through the woods toward the source of the golden light. It took me about 10 minutes to reach it, and by the time I had, the swirling gold had almost dissipated into thin air, as if it had done its job and was clocking out.
In the ground?
Amber muttered in my mind.
Underneath that fallen branch on your left?
I noticed exactly what Amber had referred to almost immediately. I could see a moss-covered stone directly beneath a huge fallen tree bough, so I heaved the branch out of the way to reveal a small entrance, barely the width of my shoulders. And I'd bet all the gold I had that it went down into the dungeon. Jackpot, I grinned. I can't see any footholds, though.
Just lower yourself down if you can,
Amber said in a worried voice.
Don't break your ankle.
Great, I'll keep that in mind, I chuckled as I dusted the entrance free of crinkled leaves and twigs. It was dark below, and it looked almost as out of place as the swirling dark portal in my closet. Well, not quite so out of place. But it was definitely weird, a perfect stone circle set into the forest floor, with nothing around it other than dried leaves and mud and whatever the hell else frequented a forest floor. I sat on the edge of the stone circle and dangled my legs into the opening, and all I could see was empty air. Then I bent down to stick my arms in and breathed a sigh of relief when I felt shallow indents in the stone wall that would at least give me somewhere to wedge my toes as I made my descent. I shimmied my lower body into the entrance and held myself there with just my arms until I found a particular foothold that didn't feel like it'd crumble away at the slightest touch. With grunts, huffs, and maybe a slight twinge of preemptive fear, I fully submerged myself into the stone circle built right into the forest floor, until finally my feet touched the ground below. Oh, it wasn't so bad. I laughed as I looked up to see the halo of light coming from the forest only a few feet above me. Then I glanced at the tunnel around me. It was man, or maybe magic made, given the lit torches that continued on into the darkness. Nothing jumped out and attacked me, though, so I'd take that as a win. Okay, let's see if I can find where we're at, I muttered. I pulled the rolled-up parchment sheet out of my pocket as I walked over to the closest lit torch on the wall and unfolded it to inspect the map we'd found in the wyvern nest. The map wasn't exactly perfect, but I was able to estimate where we were given the landmark of my cabin and how long it took me to reach the second entrance. I deduced I was in one of the two small, winding tunnels, but it looked like they went in the same direction and possibly converged, so that was good. All right, I think we're here, and there's the sword in the swamp. I pointed at the map, even though Amber didn't necessarily need me to because she could see everything I could see anyway. A swamp inside a dungeon?
Not unheard of,
Amber reasoned.
This place is already pretty damp and obviously massive. If it's here, buried in the hills, then we'll find it. Does the map give any more information than that?
Sadly not. I sighed as I rolled the parchment back up into a tight scroll and pocketed it. Why, are there creepy swamp monsters I should be wary of? I asked almost as a joke, but Amber's reply was sadly serious.
Shock eels in the water, ogres sometimes, probably more trolls too.
Amber listed the creatures off casually.
As far as I know, swamps are like a free-for-all.
Ah, I sighed. Well, I've defeated trolls and wyverns so far. Bring on the swamp monsters.
You're a professional at this point.
Amber snickered in my head. Damn right I am. I murmured with a grin, and I set off through the winding dungeon corridors with Amber's bow form secure on my back. Let's see what we can find then. It was impossible to tell whether much time had passed inside the claustrophobic stone walls, and it'd become much cooler the further into the dungeon I went. And I figured that was probably due to being fully in the bowels of the forest-covered hillside that stood above the town of Haddon. It all looks the same, I mused as my footsteps echoed on the stone walls.
Only thing we can do is press on.
Amber chuckled dryly.
I'd be willing to bet those gold nuggets of yours that you'd rather see the stone walls of the dungeon than the swamp itself.
Amber, as was usual at this point, was totally right. The moment we came even close to the swamp marked on the map, the scenery changed drastically. The air had been pleasantly cool and relatively dry inside the stone maze of the dungeon, but as it opened up to the massive cavern containing the swamp, it became damp, dingy, and actually pretty cold. It was like a photograph that had the saturation turned all the way down, and despite walking through repetitive stone walls for what felt like forever, the swamp somehow looked even more colorless. It was a wash of grays and ugly greens, and the gross, stagnant water that swirled around my feet smelled dirty and was probably disease-ridden. Well, I'm super glad I wore canvas sneakers, I grumbled as my foot was suddenly enveloped by cold, watery mud. It made a disgusting sucking sound as I yanked it back out of the quagmire, and I groaned at the sight of my poor black Converse. I can't walk through this, I moaned as I yanked my left foot out of the muck again.
There should be makeshift walkways,
Amber suggested.
As gross as the swamps are, some of the little poisonous toads are worth a lot of silver if you can harvest their venom, so toadies made wooden walkways.
Toadies? I laughed and then faltered. Wait, poisonous toads?
Yes.
Amber giggled.
If you see a little black toad with yellow colouring, run for the hills. It'll kill you in 5 minutes if it touches your skin, and you, unfortunately, don't have the protective gear to harvest them properly.
Shit. I shook my head as I trudged forward and left the wonderful dryness of the dungeon behind. These damn toadies better still have their walkways because my leg muscles are already aching from yanking my feet out of this mud. After another minute or two of me grumbling under my breath and hauling my poor, suffering shoes out of thick, wet mud every other step, I finally spotted a long plank of moss-covered wood. God bless the toadies, I sighed as I clambered up onto it. The old wet wood creaked under my weight, but eventually held steady, and I let out a long breath. I bet this damn sword isn't even here, I said as I held my arms out to balance myself on the rickety wooden beams. It's either been swallowed by mud, the toadies have stolen it, or it's dangling off some troll's belt like a toothpick.
I bet that's what happened to me,
Amber grumbled.
Trolls have a habit of stealing things, like magpies.
You think that's why you were by the river? I asked as I edged my way along the toadies' pathway.
It's definitely a possibility,
Amber said thoughtfully.
Though I don't remember things in that sort of way. Days and months and even years just sort of blurred into one for me.
That's awful. I sighed and then smiled sadly to myself. I'm glad I found you.
So am I,
Amber replied with a smile in her voice. The swamp stretched on forever, as did the toadies' wooden walkways, so I pushed further into the wet grayness until when I glanced around me, in a full 360, every single direction seemed to look the same. Well, we're good and lost now, I muttered, and I instinctively kept my voice low because of the eeriness of my surroundings. Our dungeon better steer me home when I want to get out of here. The dungeon tunnels had been quiet, but the swamp was as silent as the grave. There was water, but it was all still and stinking, and I couldn't hear any noises that sounded like animals aside from a really faint creaking that probably belonged to the wooden walkways. But my imagination was working overtime, so I imagined the quiet croaking was actually a horde of poisonous toads, ready to strike if even a toe of my shoe hit the muddy water below the wooden beam upon which I perched. I crept further along the toadies' wooden planks, until a suddenly large structure emerged in the foggy distance. It looked like an old cabin, except there was no light coming from inside, and the windows were dusty and cracked. The front of the hut itself was covered in slimy green moss and creepy-looking vines that made it look like the building was skinless and covered in a pattern of grotesque veins. And within the dusky gloom, it looked less like a building and more like an ancient creature ready to be awakened from an eternal slumber. Okay, my video game-addled brain was definitely going overboard.
You think the sword is in there somewhere?
Amber whispered in my mind, and I was grateful for her keeping her disembodied voice quiet. Maybe, I muttered back. That's our best bet so far, I guess. I tiptoed along the creaking wooden boards and inched my way closer to the mossy wooden cabin. The air was silent and charged, and I found myself holding my breath and waiting for something to happen. My imagination might have been going over the top, but it had good cause to. My instincts were spot on, because the moment I came anywhere close to the walkways that surrounded the old vine-covered hut, the water around me suddenly exploded into the air. Stinking, stagnant swamp water rained down on me, and I stumbled on the rotted wooden beams as I instinctively crouched for cover. I peered through the swamp rain as the water eventually settled, and I fought to catch my breath while I searched for the source of the chaos. A figure suddenly loomed in the weird low fog, at least 7 feet tall, and hovering above the water's surface, with ghostly strands of material floating around it, like a demonic fringe jacket. I wasn't sure whether it was humanoid or not because it was covered in the same jagged gray material, but I could see at least one limb protruding from the figure, because it clutched onto a long wooden staff that had some sort of weird yellow orb crackling on the end of it. Shit! I gasped under my breath.
Swamp witch!
Amber hissed frantically.
Wields lightning in her staff, but she's blind. She has great hearing, though.
I grimaced. How the fuck am I meant to keep quiet with rotted wood and water?
You've got this,
Amber said firmly.
They look menacing, but they're easy to defeat. She's blind and full of rage, and really, her only power comes from her staff. We just need to send an ice arrow into the orb on top of it.
You're the boss, I mumbled as I kept my stance low on the walkway. I was fearful to move, in case the creak of the old wood alerted the swamp witch to my exact location. She must have sensed me in her domain, and that's why she shot out of the swamp water. But she didn't know exactly where I was. She would have fired off some sort of attack if she did. I pulled Amber's bow off my back in one fluid movement as I grabbed for an arrow from the leather quiver.
Aim for the orb on the top of the staff,
Amber instructed in a calm voice.
Aim, and I'll send it home.
I just nodded because I didn't want my voice to tell the witch where to find me. She didn't shriek like the wyverns, but she clicked continuously like some sort of grotesque bat, and I figured she used echolocation due to her blindness. I still couldn't make out any of her features, just ugly gray material draped over her like a dirty veil, and one spindly arm that clutched onto the thin wooden staff. The orb on the end looked as though it hovered close to the staff but didn't quite touch. It just roiled and fizzed and crackled all of its own accord. I realized the weird yellow substance was pure electricity, which must have been what Amber meant when she said the Swamp Witch could wield lightning. If that was her only form of attack, it might well be her only downfall, so I knocked an arrow against the bowstring and pulled it tight up toward my face.
The lightning orb on top of her staff,
Amber reminded me softly.
Deep breath, in through the nose and out through the mouth.
I followed her instructions again and took aim. The arrow whooshed through the air at a ferocious speed, but the witch clicked furiously and spun away against the water's surface, like a figure skater on a frozen lake. The swamp water sprayed around her as she twirled, and then she rounded on me. Now she knew where I was. She can hear the arrows as they fly, I groaned.
Then you have to confuse her,
Amber said. I have an idea, I hissed. Turn on your ice power and keep it on. I'm gonna freeze the water around her and then smash it.
Good idea,
Amber gasped.
Do it now while she's searching for you.
I flexed my fingers against the smooth wood of Amber's bow and prepared myself. For someone who'd never even held a bow before falling into this world, I felt like an unstoppable force at this point. In quick succession, I shot ice arrows at the water surrounding the Swamp Witch, and the murky waters crackled against the sudden temperature change. The ice spread like pale ink, and I watched with satisfaction as a spiderweb of frost appeared beneath the floating Swamp Witch.
Now!
Amber yelled in my head, and I grabbed one last arrow from the quiver and let loose. The arrow smashed into the newly formed sheet of ice, and the swamp erupted with an almighty crack as the splinters ran through the forest like a glass window breaking. The Swamp Witch clicked and croaked furiously, and the sound was the most unsettling thing I'd ever heard in my life, wyverns included. The orb on top of her staff glowed and fizzled angrily, and sharp bolts of electricity started to fire erratically from the thin wooden rod as she twisted and writhed in midair.
It's charging!
Amber groaned.
You need to shoot it now! Freeze it!
I did as I was told and pulled another arrow from my quiver. I brought the fletching up to my lips, stared past my fingertips, and honed in on the roiling ball of sheer electricity. Then I let a breath out through my lips and felt the air fan out against my knuckles as I finally let the arrow loose. With the crackling of her lightning staff and the shattering of the ice beneath her, the witch didn't hear the deadly hiss of my arrow as it flew toward her. The arrowhead hit home, and the ice enveloped the ball of electricity before it could even crackle again. It fizzed, popped, and then suddenly exploded into a million pieces, and the gray swamp witch disintegrated along with it.
By all the gods!
Amber screamed inside my mind.
James, that was amazing!
It was pretty cool, even I'll admit. I chuckled as I quickly stowed Amber's bow on my back again. Wyverns in the hill, swamp witches in the middle of the stone dungeons. No one's a match for me.
And you're only going to get stronger.
Amber giggled.
Shall we investigate the witch's hut and see if we can find that sword?
Fuck yes. I'm not coming away from that empty-handed. I grinned and I hopped quickly along the creaky wooden pathway and headed toward the cabin. I was half expecting it to sprout little legs and run away like Baba Yaga's hut, but it remained still and totally creepy the closer I got.
There's something in there,
Amber muttered in my mind.
I can feel something.
That bodes well, I murmured back, and we both instinctively kept our voices low and cautious as I approached the door of the vine-covered swamp cabin. There was nothing inside on first inspection. The door reluctantly creaked open, and there was even less light inside, but a huge stone fireplace sat on the far side of the room. There were no charred logs or lumps of coal clumped together in the hearth. It was just covered in piles of gray dust. I saw no furniture in the one-room hut at all, and the only thing that looked like it might have been out of place was what was dangling from the mantelpiece. There was no sword anywhere to be seen, but a long pendant dangled enticingly from the stone mantel.
That necklace,
Amber moaned inside my mind.
It feels like I'm drawn to it, whatever that stone is.
Then it's yours, I replied, strode across the room, and yanked the pendant off the rusty old hook on the mantel. Nothing dramatic happened. The world didn't stop spinning, and hell didn't open up beneath me, so I held the necklace up to inspect it. The rock on the end of the leather strap suddenly started to glow, and it looked like fire trapped inside of glass. It burned and glowed, and somehow managed to find light to catch. It's beautiful, I muttered.
It's mine,
Amber replied in a strained voice.
It belongs to me somehow. I don't know, I just need it.
Do you think it attaches to your bow? I asked suddenly, like your ice power gemstone?
That's what it is,
Amber sighed in relief.
It's my power. Please, James, I need it.
I'm on it, I assured her as I pulled the bow off my back. I flipped it over and realized there was indeed one more slot on the handle where another power stone could be wedged, and I pulled the fiery red rock off the leather strap and quickly placed it into the corresponding slot on Amber's bow. The weapon glowed like it had done before in the wyvern nest, except this time it was boiling hot to the touch and almost burned my hand before I dropped it with a gasp. The wood sizzled into the floor of the cabin until eventually the glow dissipated. Amber? I asked tentatively.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
The redhead giggled inside my head.
Let's light this place up, shall we?
You don't have to tell me twice. I grinned, hustled back out of the cabin, and then hopped over the toady's wooden planks until I was a safe distance away from the building.
Okay,
Amber said in a satisfied voice.
Grab an arrow?
I reached behind my head to flick an arrow out of the quiver, and as I went to knock it against the bowstring, I noticed my tattoo. Fire. I smirked down at the little black marking that looked like a flame. Okay, channel that redhead energy for me.
You got it,
Amber giggled.
Fire it well.
I pulled the bowstring back and let one of our new fire arrows loose. The tiny wooden spear sunk into the vine-covered wood of the witch's hut, and the entire building became suddenly engulfed in flames. The sudden light against the gloom was almost a shock, and I stumbled a little on the wooden planks but laughed as I heard Amber's delighted giggle inside of my head.
Get me back to my human form,
Amber begged excitedly.
I want to see what looks different now that I have fire in me.
You always had fire in you, I teased. But what about the sword? Should we keep looking?
I do not believe it's here,
Amber said.
Something tells me it was moved. Like I said, trolls like to pick things up, especially if they're shiny, and trolls aren't the only greedy species.
Damn, I sighed. A sword would have been awesome, especially if it had a woman inside it.
I believe you will find it someday, Master,
Amber assured me in a confident voice.
Even if you have to search every tunnel in the dungeon.
That sounded like a lot of work, but then again, was it really work killing monsters, saving women, and getting paid in gold? You're right, I said with a smile. I won't give up. But for now, let's get back to my room. I hustled my way out of the swamp and thankfully found the stone entrance to the dungeon with relative ease, as if the sprawling stone maze was actively morphing around me in order to try and help. I moved through the dungeon in the hills and eventually crawled my way out at the second entrance we'd found concealed deep in the woods. Then I quickly trekked back to my cabin and finally stepped through the swirling golden gate in my closet counterpart, with Amber's bow still securely on my back. The moment I reappeared in my dorm room in Brooklyn, my warrior woman slid off me and whipped around to plant a long kiss on my mouth. Hi, I mumbled into her plump lips as I wrapped an arm around her slender waist. I missed you.
You've got to say that every time now,
Amber giggled, and she sighed into my kiss. So, what's different? I asked as I reluctantly pulled away from her lips. You already had the red hair, and you've got icy blue eyes now. Where's the fire?
I have a tattoo like yours,
Amber said breathlessly, and she held up her left wrist for me to inspect. Her left wrist had a long pattern of reds and golds that went over the back of her hand, and even up her arm a little, and she twirled her fingers around in satisfaction.
See?
She grinned.
I did have fire in me.
Yeah, you did. I murmured as I grabbed her tattoo-covered wrist and pulled her toward me. You want to show me just how fiery you can be?